Please take your Bibles at this time and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, or Matthew chapter 28, and verses 1 through 10. Today is Easter, of course, the day that we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. Football has its Super Bowl. Baseball has the World Series. Soccer has the World Cup. In Christianity, we've got Easter, right? Easter is the climactic day of the Christian year. And some might say, well, what about Christmas? Isn't that pretty important? Yeah, Christmas is important. Christmas is a wonderful day. But for me, Christmas is more like opening day in the park, okay? And opening day, that's a great day, and all the 8 days in between. But it's all just building towards what? Towards that final championship game. And so for me, Easter, folks, it's the Super Bowl of Christianity. And you want to know one of the best parts about Easter? Is if you're a Christian, then your home team wins every year. How cool is that? You know, 2,000 years straight and still undefeated. Now that's what I call a dynasty. And how sweet it is to celebrate Christ's victory each and every year. Well, this morning we're going to look at the Easter story. We're going to look at Christ's victory over the grave. And we're going to do that by focusing on the women who came seeking Jesus early that first Easter morning. Theirs is such an important story, and we can learn so much from them. All four of the gospel writers share about the women who came to the tomb. But this morning we'll look specifically at Matthew's account. So we're in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Will you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us now through your word. Encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, the title of today's message is Desperately Seeking Jesus. Now, I stole that title from a movie that came out a number of years back that was called Desperately Seeking Susan. Now, disclaimer here, never saw the movie. I don't know if it's a good movie. It may be a horrible movie. I have no idea. All I know is I remembered the title for some reason, and it seemed to fit this passage perfectly. Desperately Seeking Jesus. How well does that describe you this morning? Are you desperately seeking Jesus in your life? What does it mean to desperately seek after Christ? God says this in Jeremiah 29:13. He says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So in short, desperately seeking Jesus means this. It means seeking him with all your heart. And when you seek Christ with all your heart, you will never be disappointed, because God promises you that you will find him. Our women in our passage this morning, they were desperately seeking Jesus. They were seeking him with all their hearts, and they were not disappointed. For in finding Jesus, they found all that they had hoped for, and even more. As we look at their story this morning, though, I want you to examine your own heart, your own life. Are you seeking Jesus the same way that these women did? Are you desperately seeking Jesus with all your heart? Because if you are, then God's promise remains for you also. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So let's take a closer look at these women now who came to Jesus' tomb that first Easter morning. I want us especially to see three things about seeking Jesus from these women's lives. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to see the 3 points there to follow along, but I also have them up here on the screen. Number one, desperately seeking Jesus means putting Christ first. Number two, desperately seeking Jesus means letting nothing stand in your way. And number three, desperately seeking Jesus means joyfully obeying God's commands. So we're going to look at all three of these, but let's begin with number one. Desperately seeking Jesus means putting Christ first. Look at verse 1 with me now, Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now, Matthew speaks here about two Marys, okay? We've got Mary Magdalene, and then we've got the other Mary, okay? Now, these were two of the women who traveled with Jesus and with Jesus' disciples and helped tend to their needs. The Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus had cast seven demons out of Mary Magdalene. The other Mary, this is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. Matthew identifies her earlier as Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. And when we read the other Gospels, we learn that there were also other women there as well, but Matthew chooses to focus just on these two Marys and their encounter with Christ. Matthew tells us that these two women set off to Jesus' tomb when, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week. Now, the Sabbath, that's Saturday, seventh day of the week, special day of rest, designated by the Lord. And because the Jewish day went from sundown to sundown, okay, they did it differently from ours. So Sabbath actually began on our Friday when the sun went down, and then it went to sundown on Saturday. That was the Sabbath. Matthew tells us earlier that these two Marys, they were there watching as Jesus' body was laid in the tomb. It was Friday afternoon, almost sundown. Sabbath was beginning. So what do? They go home. They rest in obedience to the Lord. But it's clear that all night long and all day Saturday, they never stopped thinking about Jesus. Because as soon as the Sabbath was over, what did? They went out. They bought the necessary spices and prepared them along with perfumes in order to anoint Jesus' body. But by the time they get this all together, it's too late Saturday night to go. But at dawn on the first day of the week, Sunday morning, at the first light, at the very first opportunity, what did? They set out seeking Jesus. And the text literally says, as it began to dawn. It means they didn't even wait for the sun to rise before they left their homes. They left while it was still dark. They wanted to get there and to arrive at the tomb at the first light of day. When I used to live in California, one time I had this big idea. I wanted to watch the sunrise over Bryce Canyon Park in Utah, which is like 10 or 12 hours away. So what I did was I slept in the afternoon, and then I left the house, you know, Friday evening, drove all through the night. I got there 30 minutes before sunrise, got out of my car, and just went over there and watched, and then the sun came up, and you could see the shadows hitting these beautiful rock formations, long shadows, and the sun coming up until the whole canyon was just bathed in this beautiful, glorious light. It was such a beautiful sight. And that's what these women did here, right? They set out in the darkness because they wanted to see the tomb of their Lord at the first possible moment on the first day of the week following the Sabbath. Now, I want you to take note of something very carefully here. I want you to note the word tomb here in verse 1, because Matthew uses a word for tomb here that specifically means grave or burial place. It's a word that actually comes from another word specifically meaning to bury. It's very important, but it's not important yet. It's going to be important later in the message. Now, when we get to that part, you'll have forgotten I told you this already, but as soon as I get to it, you'll remember again. You go, oh yeah, he said that. So just kind of set that aside. We'll come back to that. But what I want you to see right now is that these women came seeking Jesus at the very first possible moment they could. You know, if the day before hadn't been the Sabbath, they would have been there Saturday. As soon as the Sabbath was over, what did? Saturday night, they began making their preparations for Sunday morning. And as soon as they could Sunday morning, they set out for the tomb. In other words, these women put Jesus first. They put him first in their thoughts. They put him first in their hearts. They put him first in their actions. I sometimes wonder, where were the disciples that early Sunday morning? Where were they? Probably home hiding or maybe still in bed. But these women, they were determined to seek Jesus first. Because people, nothing could be more pressing, more important, more precious than seeking Jesus? Every day when you get up in the morning, the first thing you should do is seek Christ. Seek Him in prayer. Seek Him in His Word. Seek Him in quietness and in praise. You might say, well, that sounds pretty radical. I might even have to plan ahead or make some preparations the night before if I was going to do that. Exactly. That's what these women did, right? They prepared the night before. But desperately seeking Jesus does not just mean putting Christ first in your day. It means putting Christ first in your life. In everything you do, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus Christ is risen. He is Lord of all. And first place is His rightful place in your life. Do you feel distant from Christ this morning? Perhaps you've let something come in between. God says you will seek Him and find Him when you seek Him with all your heart. So that's our first point this morning. Desperately seeking Jesus means putting Christ first in your life. Secondly, desperately seeking Jesus means letting nothing stand in your way. Often we do not seek Jesus as we should because we run into obstacles. Perhaps you have a busy schedule, or there's some burden you are bearing, some difficulty you are facing. Whatever the obstacles, when it comes to seeking Christ, we should let nothing stand in our way. Once again, we look at the women who came to the tomb. They had their share of obstacles. First of all, there were the guards at the tomb, right? The Jewish leaders had obtained permission from Pilate to post guards at the tomb. They said this was in case the disciples tried to steal the body and pretend that Jesus had risen from the dead. So they had the guards to deal with. That's a pretty big obstacle. And then secondly, there was the stone itself. Jesus' tomb was cut out of rock. The entrance would have been set down low in a small depression in the ground. And then the stone then would have been rolled down in front of that to cover the mouth of the tomb. Now, these stones that covered the mouths of the tombs, they were very heavy. Even for a small tomb with a smaller stone, it would take a number of good, strong men to roll that stone and to push it down in front of the entrance. And the Bible tells us that Jesus' tomb, that the stone there, tells us it was a large stone. So it doesn't take an advanced degree in physics to figure out that it's going to be even harder to roll the stone back up that incline than it was to roll it down to begin with. So these women, they had some serious obstacles that stood in their way of seeking Jesus that first Easter morning. But you know what? They did not let any of these obstacles block them from their goal. Why? Because they were desperately seeking Jesus. And when you are desperately seeking Jesus, you don't let anything stand in your way. And the neat thing about this is when you focus on seeking Jesus, instead of putting all of your focus on the obstacles that are in your path, God has a wonderful way of removing those obstacles for you. That's what He did for these women. Look at verses 2 through 4 now. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of Him that they shook and became like dead men. One angel from God, both of those obstacles were removed, just like that. And talk about an angel. Matthew tells us His appearance was like lightning. That means that there was blinding light shining forth from His face and His person. Matthew also says that His clothes were as white as snow. And the word that's used for white here is a word that means bright white, a brilliant, dazzling white. And so this is not white as snow. It's like snow falling from the sky at night and just sort of soft white against the darkness of the sky. No, this is white as snow, and the snow has already fallen over. It's crusted over. It's midday, and the sun is blaring down on all that light comes flashing back at you. If you've ever gone skiing, you know what that's like. They call it snow blind, right? Remember, black absorbs all the colors, white reflects all the colors, and so all the light comes right back at you, blinding and dazzling your eyes. And so this angel's appearance, it was blinding. It was dazzling. This was no red-headed Roma Downey in a pantsuit, okay? This was an angel sent straight from God in heaven, burning bright with the majestic glory of God from whose presence he had come. And it was a terrifying sight. Not only that, Matthew tells us that his coming was attended by a violent earthquake. But this was not just a natural earthquake. This was not a matter of the tectonic plates shifting beneath the crust of the earth or the subterranean pressures being released to the surface. No, Matthew says this earthquake was specifically caused by the angel coming down from heaven. You see, the coming of the angel marked an intrusion into the physical world by the spiritual world. And we read in Matthew 27 of a similar intrusion and earthquake, which took place also on Good Friday at Jesus' death. So you have this shining, terrifying angel which comes down from heaven. You have this violent earthquake. Everything is shaking. The angel comes over and single-handedly rolls that stone out of the way of the tomb. And then he sits down on top of the stone as though it were nothing. And Matthew tells us, I love it, he says, the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Now, whether they all fainted or they were just playing dead, who knows, right? But it must have been quite a sight. All of these guards scattered like lifeless corpses on the ground. Now, there's an irony here in verse 4. First, the ground shook from the earthquake, and then the guards shook with fear. And another irony here, Jesus rose from the dead. The guards became like dead men. Talk about touched by an angel. Doesn't usually happen that way in the TV show, does it? In verse 5, the angel speaks to the women. First words, he says, do not be afraid. For I know that you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. You notice an angel never said that to the guards? Angel never said to the guards, angels let the guards hit the ground. Didn't care about them, right? So why does the angel speak this word of reassurance to the women? He tells us why. He says, do not be afraid. Why? For I know that you are looking for Jesus. And the word that's translated looking for there is a word which simply means to seek. The women did not need to be afraid because they had come seeking Jesus. Have you come seeking Jesus this morning? Then you do not need to be afraid either. The Bible says, Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? If you're seeking Jesus, then God is on your side and God's angels are on your side too. Notice how the angel identifies Jesus as the one who is crucified. You are seeking Jesus who was crucified. Remember, these women did not come looking for the risen Christ, right? They were looking for Jesus, the crucified. That's why they brought the spices and the perfumes, right? They came to anoint a dead body. And so these women, they did not understand all that they needed to know about Jesus. But they were seeking him nonetheless. You may not understand everything about Jesus that you would like to either. You know what? That's okay. It is enough that you are seeking him. And to these seekers of Jesus, the angel brings the glad proclamation in verse 6. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. He's risen, just as he said. Now, there may be just a hint of a gentle rebuke in those words, just as he said. At the very least, there's a reminder there because Jesus had repeatedly told his followers what? That he would die and rise again on the third day. Hey, third day. They should have been expecting it. So perhaps the woman should have come seeking the risen Jesus. But you know what? At this moment, it doesn't matter anymore. The angel extends this word of grace to the women. He's risen from the dead. Come, see the place where he lay. Come and see the actual physical location where the physical body of Jesus lay dead from the time of his burial to the time of his resurrection. And the women look and they see that Jesus' body is no longer there. They had come seeking Jesus at the tomb, and the tomb is empty. Christ has risen indeed. You know, it would have been so easy for the women to stay home that morning. Look at all the obstacles they had to face. They could have reasoned with each other. What's the use? How are we ever going to get past the guards? And even if we got past the guards, what about the stone? Who's going to move the stone for us? You see, they didn't let those obstacles deter them. They were desperate to get to Christ, and therefore they let nothing stand in their way. Yeah, it would have been easy to stay at home, but look what they would have missed. What obstacles stand in your way of seeking Christ this morning? Is it a lack of faith? Then ask God to give you the faith that you need. Is it some sin in your life? Well, Jesus died to forgive your sin. So don't let sin stand in the way of seeking Jesus. Is it pride? The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Is it some heavy burden that you are carrying? The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Trust God to roll that stone away. You see, desperately seeking Jesus means, first of all, putting Christ first, and secondly, letting nothing stand in your way. Now we come to our third and final point. Desperately seeking Jesus means joyfully obeying his commands. Look at verse 7 now. The angel is continuing to speak to the women. He tells them, go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now, I have told you. So the angels tell them, go to the disciples. Tell them Jesus is alive. Tell them he's going to Galilee. You know, back in Matthew 26, Jesus had already told his disciples. He told them, after I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. So all the angels are doing is telling the women, go back and remind the disciples what Jesus already told them, right? You know, they're going to have their own opportunity to seek Jesus in Galilee. And then the angel, I love this. The angel ends by saying, now I've told you. It's like the angel has discharged his responsibility. He's done his job. He's testified to the resurrection of Christ. Now it's the women's turn. It's their responsibility to testify. They have been charged by God through the angel to go and tell the disciples quickly and without delay. And that same charge applies to you and me today. Each person who receives the good news of Jesus' resurrection, we have an obligation to pass it on to the next person, right? It's almost as though when we finish sharing the gospel with someone, that we can say along with the angel, okay, I've told you. It's your turn. Off you go. And what did the women do? Look at verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. The angel told them how to go. He said, go quickly. And the women joyfully obeyed. They hurried away. They ran to tell the disciples. They were afraid. I mean, who wouldn't be after seeing that angel, right? And yet they were also filled with great joy. Now, Matthew does something very interesting at this point in the narrative. It's a little hard to pick up in our English translations. But he writes that they hurried away from the tomb. Okay, we're going to go back. Remember I told you to remember something earlier in the message? You forgot all about it, but now you remember it, right? Okay, here we go. Remember I told you about that word tomb back in verse 1, that it meant a grave or a burial place? Well, Matthew uses a different word for tomb here in verse 8. The word tomb in verse 1 comes from a word meaning to bury. The word tomb here in verse 8 comes from a word meaning to remember. In other words, the word for tomb here in verse 8 is not the word for a grave or a burial place. This is the word for a monument or a memorial. Why is this difference so important? The women came looking for the place where Jesus was buried. But he was no longer buried there because he had risen from the dead. And so the tomb was no longer a grave, but simply a memorial, a reminder of the place where Jesus' body lay buried from Good Friday evening through Easter morning. The tomb was empty, and so the women hurried away from the memorial, and they ran to tell the disciples. And as they run in joyful obedience to spread the good news, Jesus himself meets them. I love this. Look at verse 9. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. And they came to him, they clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. These women had come seeking Jesus, and at last they found him. The Lord whom they loved, the Lord whom they had served during his earthly ministry, whom they had seen crucified, dead, and buried, now stands before them, and they fall at his feet in loving worship. And now Jesus speaks to them in verse 10. You know, awesome enough to have an angel speak to you, but now to have the risen Christ speaking, verse 10. Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And so Jesus speaks basically the same word as the angel told them, but there is one small difference. Notice that Jesus addresses the disciples as my brothers. What a wonderful kinship we share with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:11 tells us that Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and his sisters. And once again, these are words of wonderful grace coming from the lips of Jesus. What have the disciples just done? They just quarreled together. They've been slow to believe. They had deserted Christ. They abandoned him. Now they're huddling in fear of the Jews. They didn't come seeking Jesus as these women did. And yet, what does Jesus do? He still calls them my brothers. That's just pure grace. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. The women who came seeking Jesus that first Easter morning became the very first witnesses to the resurrection of Christ. What a wonderful experience. What a marvelous privilege. But it would never have happened had they not been desperately seeking Jesus. What does it mean to desperately seek Jesus? Three things. I'll give them to you again. It means putting Jesus first, letting nothing stand in your way, joyfully obeying God's commands. See, that's what these women did, right? They put Jesus first. They came seeking him first thing Sunday morning. They let nothing stand in their way. They just ignored the obstacles of the guards and that stone. And they joyfully obeyed God's commands. They ran to tell the disciples the good news. And they met Jesus on the way. They were seeking Jesus and they found him. They came to look at a grave and they left a memorial. They came with tears and sadness and they left trembling with joy. They came looking for a crucified Jesus and they left as first witnesses to the living Lord. And folks, you will never be disappointed when you seek Christ first, because when you seek him, you will find him. And he is all you could ever want and need. Remember God's promise, Jeremiah 29:13. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So let me encourage you this morning to join those who are desperately seeking Jesus this Easter season and always. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for these women at the tomb. What a beautiful story their story is, and we can learn so much from it. Lord, I pray for each person here today that if they don't know you, that they would seek you, Lord. And not just seek you like think about you today and forget about you tomorrow, but they would be desperate. They would say, I need Jesus. I need God in my life. My life is never going to change without Christ. Lord Jesus, I seek you first and foremost. I seek you with all my heart. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, I pray. Amen.
I don't usually sing after preaching, but there's a beautiful little song I heard a long time ago back when I was in college. It just fits so well with the passage we just read this morning. It's a song about the women coming to the tomb early on Easter morning and finding Jesus. And I'd just like to share it with you this morning. It's called Mary. Thank you. live